The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America. Streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. And boy, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about. It is Friday, February the 3rd. And that means a couple of golf tournaments are going on. Of course, the PGA Tour is in Phoenix for the Waste Management Phoenix Open, one of the biggest parties on tour all year long. Matt Kuchar has a first-round lead after shooting a 7-under 64. Matt Kuchar is one of those guys that I'm saying right now is going to and he hasn't won majors, so it's not like – but he's going to be in contention for majors and turn well into his 50s. I see him being like a Bernhard Langer. He just doesn't seem to – he ages like fine wine. He's always there. Even as he gets older and everybody else has injuries and health problems and whatever, not Matt Kuchar. He just keeps knocking it along and playing great golf, and he's doing it again, at least after one round at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Speaking of people that have some issues with health halfway around the world, at the European Tour's Omega Dubai Desert Classic, the big news there is not that Sergio Garcia has a lead after also shooting a 7-under par 65 to have the lead by one shot. But the real news is the guy who's at the bottom and has withdrawn, WD next to his name, and that's Tiger Woods. Tiger has withdrawn from the Dubai Desert Classic and claiming back spasms, the reason, lower back spasms, the reason for his withdrawal. And so we're going to talk about that a lot today. We have a couple of good guests on with us. Dickie Pride, our good friend, will be joining us and give us some insight into what he thinks is going on with Tiger Woods, as well as the rest of the tour and what's happening in Phoenix as well. And then we also have Art Selinger, long drive champion Art Selinger, who can personally speak, and maybe Dickie can too, but Art can personally speak to the fact that his body has shut down before because of what's going on in his head and the anguish that you sometimes go through in the game of golf. I mean, that's why you don't hear about a lot of basketball yips and baseball yips. I mean, it can happen, but in golf, a lot of stuff happens between the ears, and it can affect your game, and it can affect your health, like Tiger Woods, and Art Selinger is going to talk to us about that as well. So a lot of interesting stuff going on with us from the Nashville studios to talk about health is our own Dr. Frank Bassett.
Promoted.
Dr. Bassett. Give us your insight into all. I tell you, it's not scary. I guess it's to be expected with Tiger, but is this another case of here we go again?
Yeah. I didn't know I had to have malpractice insurance to do radio.
No, you better check into that.
Or is it foul practice? Foul practice insurance. There you go.
You're getting sued right away.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord. When I saw it happen yesterday, I was like, oh my gosh, here we go again. But of course, in his interview, and then his agent, you know, Mr. Mark, talked about the fact that it was spasms, not back pain. And then, of course, I don't want to steal any thunder from Art, but you've had it. I've had it. The brain is an incredibly powerful tool in the body,
right?
And it can make you do all sorts of things. So we'll let Art tell us about that. Maybe Dickie Pride can fill us in on a little bit of it too.
It's a game like we've said a million times that you don't really react. You make things happen on your own schedule for the most part. So you don't get a basketball thrown to you and you got to take a shot, not take a shot, pass. You just react. It's hard to sometimes develop yips when it's all about reaction. But in golf, as we know, you can stand over that shot. And they even showed earlier from the Dubai Desert Classic, Ian Poulter, some highlights. I don't know if you saw that, but he hit a shank on one hole.
I did.
And they said he backed away three times before he hit that shot. And even after he hit it, he said to himself, like kind of as Ian Poulter does, commit to a shot, will you? Like he just, in his mind, could not figure out what he was going to do with that shot. And it locks you down. Not to the point where he got spasms, but if you take that times several more lockdowns, it can create spasms. If your head just won't tell you yes or no, or you feel good about what you're going to do or your shots, it tells the rest of your body. It affects your blood flow. I mean, it's a very scientific thing. So, you see it in golf, unfortunately, a lot more than other sports. And so we'll find out. And it'd be interesting. We'll have Dickie on here in a minute and see if Dickie has gone through that same thing to the point where it affects his body. Certainly, we've all had some lockdown and some questions in your head, but did it affect his physical health?
Is there a tournament anywhere else in the world?
No, nothing else going on.
Nothing else but Tiger.
One man withdrawing from a tournament. tournament in the desert, which, by the way, if you saw the highlights as well, they didn't get to finish because of darkness. Technically, the reason that's because they had a dust storm blowing through the desert.
It's the desert.
It was like three camels blew by. Yeah, I mean it was some serious wind blowing and dust and everything. So they had to blow the horns and get people off the course or get them at least covered until it blew through. So not everybody finished, but again, Sergio Garcia played very, very well. Shot a 65, so he has – and some pretty good golfers. Ian Poulter, we mentioned, but still shot a 67. So he might have had one bad lockdown on a hole or on a shot, but he still shot a 5-under. So he's playing pretty well. Graham McDowell's in this tournament. Henrik Stenson, Martin Kaymer. There's some very, very good golfers playing in this event. We talked about that earlier in the week that Steve Johnson was saying, well, why would Tiger go there instead of just
– go to Phoenix? To Scottsdale?
To Phoenix. Yeah, going over to the Phoenix Open from San Diego. But, again, we all know that he and others get a fee for showing up. And so that's part of it. Plus, I think a loyalty. He's played over there in Dubai for – and Tiger, as much or more than anybody, maybe not Gary Player, is certainly an international player. So, you know, he's going to have commitments and going to play in China and Shanghai and Dubai and South Africa and all over the world. And he's always done that. So it's not that unusual, I don't think. But – Interesting to see what's happened with him. So, we'll have to Dickie his.
He has a week off. He's got a week off coming up now. So, and then Genesis and Honda. So we'll see what happens there. We'll be at Honda. So, I don't know. It's brings back all sorts of bad memories. But again, not back pain, spasms. So we'll let Art talk about that. I think what we ought to do is just call Dickie cold instead of go to break.
Do it.
Let's get him on. You want to just do it? Just see how he answers the phone. We may have to edit.
Sometimes this works. Sometimes it doesn't, Frank.
It's
sometimes
fun. It's fun to do it this way.
It goes to voicemail.
Let's just
Let's just get Dickie. Enterprises.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just get Dickie on the line live with us.
Hello.
Hey, Dickie Pride. You're on the line live right now. We didn't go to break.
We brought you in,
so I'm glad you answered nicely. How are you?
Good morning, Dickie.
Yeah. Versus normal. Thank you, Frank. I'm glad you gave me that heads up.
We're just having a little fun talking here this morning. But hey, by the way, before we get into the most important topic in the world today, thanks for joining us on stage at the PGA Merchandise Show. It was great. A lot of great feedback on your you being there.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I wish I could have made it more than one day, but I'm not sure I could have got in there because Brendan was not going to give up his microphone, and you had a bunch of guests. I couldn't, you know, the amount of talent and the people in the golf industry I brought in was just awesome.
Well, thanks. We had a lot of fun with it. Chi-Chi was great, too. Johnny Miller was great. I mean, Susie Whaley with the PGA of America. We had tons of guests. It was just a lot of fun, but you were the best. Yeah. You were the best.
But Dickie, you did win the award, Dickie, for prettiest sweater. The salmon colored sweater, by far,
you know,
the prettiest outfit anybody had.
I actually talked to Fairway and Green, and they corrected me, and that is Nantucket Red. Thank you.
That's Nantucket Red.
Nantucket Red. That pullover definitely turned some heads.
It was great looking. I loved it.
Some of them turned away, you know, not liking it. But it was fun.
Nantucket Red. Nantucket Red, not to be confused with Martha's Vineyard Purple. Is that the gig here? What's the Martha's Vineyard color? Yeah.
I don't. You cut out.
I got it.
I'm on my phone. I'm driving in right now. I feel like doing the Tim Allen and Santa Claus. That's not very ladylike. But driving over to practice, so I just cut out for a second. But yeah, we have purple at Fairway and Green. We'll find you something there, Frank.
Okay. So you're on your way to Bay Hill right now, right?
Of course, the big question coming from the show is, were you able to get yourself a set of golf clubs?
That would be a big no.
Big no.
Big no.
The begging did not pay off.
Yeah. Well, there was groveling, too.
Oh, there was.
Groveling, promises. I'm sorry it didn't work out.
Bribery,
whatever.
Right.
We're just going to start talking bad about some of the major manufacturers.
That'll work. Yeah, that'll work.
Until they give me a set of clubs to shut me up.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, we definitely want to get on the golf industry for having good business sense.
Yeah.
Thanks
Frank's
a lot,
shame them into a set of golf clubs.
I was going to say, load me up on that one. That was like, here comes the number one, and when you speak up, you speak well.
Exactly. Exactly. If people don't know that movie, that would be a Kevin Costner flick, right?
Yeah. That would be Bull Durham. Actually, in the movie, it's Here Comes the Deuce, and when you speak up, you speak well. But I use the number one because I could never hit a curveball.
There you go.
Right?
Me neither.
We're talking with Dickie Pride, PGA Tour veteran and connoisseur of fine vintage golfware, and apparently now an ally of Frank in the ever evolving world of free golf clubs, just trying everything. tell him Dickie sent you, Frank. Maybe try that one. Dickie told me to call, and you'd give me some golf clubs.
That
was Dickie's name. That'll help.
That would be at the TaylorMade booth, I believe. So
that would be at TaylorMade, but it's TaylorMade's actually come out with some really good irons. Two sets actually. They're called the 750s and the 770s, and it is very difficult to get those right now.
I need.
Jason Day, all these guys have switched to them right off the bat because they're really good, and we don't have a lot of heads, don't have a lot of sets. TaylorMade was actually going to introduce it next year, and they brought it out as a prototype for us in Sea Island at the RSM Classic, and everyone liked them so much that they started producing them earlier. So I don't have a set yet. I'm working on that diligently. Because they only, the last I heard, they had 20 sets total, 20 sets of heads, and we're hoping to get some in this week. So we'll see. So TaylorMade may be a tough call right now.
Oh, well, I need the Christian clubs, though, from TaylorMade, you know, the very forgiving clubs. I thought that was great.
All their clubs are forgiving.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
There you go.
Yeah. Maybe you'll get yours quicker now.
Okay, Tim, get control of this thing, would you?
Yeah, good plug. Yeah. Good plug there, Dickie. Okay, hey, Dickie, let me ask you. We've got Art Selinger coming on after you, and Art, I know, has had some personal issues with spasms and created by the tension in his head and playing in certain events that the pressure just got to him, and it affected his body. Can you relate to, if indeed that's what's going on with Tiger, and certainly there's suspicion that that might be the case, that he's just got some issues, and it then relates to a back spasm or other problems with your body. Have you gone through that before in your career?
That mentally it came out on the physical side? Is that what you're asking?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Not really on me. A little bit. I mean, I've had injuries, and you have to work around them, and you have to change your swing slightly to work with whatever injury you have. And I think the biggest thing we're seeing is what we talked about at the show is, you know, you can't, at 40 years old, you can't play like you're 20 years old. And Tiger Woods is teaching himself with some help, but he's trying. I mean, it was very obvious in San Diego. He's trying to swing the same way. And if he's going with a lot of injuries, and I'm not sure that's going to work. It's going to be very difficult to work. I mean, I think I was listening this morning. I think they said he's had 27 different procedures done. You know, that's a lot of scar tissue. That's a lot of scar tissue.
Is that right?
Especially,
yeah.
You know, with his back. And they're saying it's, but there's still a lot of scar tissue over there. I've got a lot of scar tissue around my body, too, that I've had certain different surgeries, and it just doesn't move as well. We all know this. So there's a lot built up there, and he's trying to do it the same way. And I'm not sure that that's going to be – I'm not saying that he can't score better than everyone, but he can't – I don't think he can play golf the way he's always played it and expect to get the same results.
Now, we talked about this before, and we talked about it in Orlando as well, the fact that he doesn't have anyone working with him, per se, and maybe has a bunch of different opinions and people talking with him, but as far as coaches go, and how, does he need that? Would that in some way help out, even though that may not help his mental anguish that he might be going through, if that's the cause of back spasms or whatnot, but do you think he really needs to get someone in with him that he can at least lean on a little bit?
Well, I think he has to get a game plan. I mean, that's the first and foremost. He has to get a game plan of where he is and where he wants to go, and then decide what he needs to do to go from point A to point B. I think a coach can help that. The big question is, does Tiger Woods have the knowledge of his golf swing and the golf swing to make adjustments with his physical condition as is? Because I could be convinced differently. He may have done a lot of study on the golf swing when he was downtime and read books and looked at different videos and different things like that. But does he have the knowledge to take his physical limitations as they are and produce a swing that will be effective and not hurt him? I don't know. I think that a coach could help with that. I've always said, I know a lot about my golf swing. I don't know a lot about the golf swing. And I don't think that Tiger can turn around and say, I'm going to play with the same swing I've had, because I think he's in a different place than he was physically.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we'll see how it's going to hold up or how it'll affect him going forward. We're understanding, of course, that he's committed to a couple of tournaments coming up, one being Honda, the other one being Riviera, and whether or not this recent injury is going to affect that, we'll find out. We'll see. But obviously all eyes will be on him, and we'll know what's going on with Tiger, because he's now at least back on the radar of golf after being gone for so long, and everybody really not talking about that much because he wasn't playing. Now, whether he's playing or not, we're all talking about him. Once again, before we let you go, though, Dickie, I know you got to get to your practice, but we also have a big football game coming up on Sunday, and you're our prognosticator during college football season. So give us your take on what's going to happen in the Super Bowl. You got gold. You have New England, or I forgot who's even playing, or Atlanta. Who do you like in this one? I'm guessing locally you like Atlanta because that's in your region. But what do you think?
Taking the Falcons for the simple reason. There are two reasons. One, I'm from Alabama, and it's the closest pro team I've ever had in my life. And number two, I think that their offense can do something on New England's defense. And, I have a couple reasons. Number three, I think that the strength of New England, obviously, is Tom Brady and his ability to distribute the ball. But the strength of the Falcons' defense is pass defense. If New England, now you never know with Bill Belichick, he's kind of one of those guys, you think he's going to go one way, he goes the exact opposite just because he knows you're thinking he's going to go that way. You may get a big steady dose of LeGarrette Blount right up the middle, just pounding it away, keeping the Falcons offense off the field and eating up time. And it's, you know, that's the weakest part of the Falcons defense. So that could happen, but I'm going to take the Falcons because I think that they've got so many playmakers on offense, they're going to be able to keep pace and outpace New England, especially with, I like Julio Jones on the outside, but the running back Freeman is just, he's a dual threat. He can run and he can catch passes, similar to David Johnson with the Arizona Cardinals. He just eats up defenses because you put a linebacker on him, he's catching a pass. You put a safety on him, he's running up the middle. So he's very difficult to defend.
Okay, well, we'll see. A lot of people have the Falcons winning this game. The line right now is New England by about a field goal or so. And a lot of that, I think, is because of Belichick, literally, and Brady, but guys that have been there, and certainly people have said that Belichick has proven if you give him a couple weeks to get ready for any game, he's a very tough guy to beat, and we'll figure out a way to stop whatever it is that you do. But I'm looking forward to it. I just hope it's a great game. I don't really have a dog in the hunt here, but I'd love to see a dramatic fourth quarter. Somebody needs to score last 2 minutes or something. That'd be great. That's all I'm hoping for, and that it's not a blowout one way or the other. But we'll see come Sunday. Should be a lot of fun. Dickie, thanks so much for joining us and giving us your insight.
Yeah, talk about one thing. I think Frank was alluding to it earlier.
Yeah,
February 1st was National Signing Day.
It was.
ended up number one?
Well, let me see. It starts with a T and ends with the national championship.
Well, I don't remember.
Tuscaloosa,
I believe.
Frank even bringing that up.
We didn't get the national. Yes, Alabama had an exceptional class. I was very excited about it. They actually broke a record. The ESPN top 300. They had 21 top 300 commits,
yeah,
which is a record by two, which I just think is amazing.
Why don't?
And I think we actually have 10 already enrolled, which is, you know, a very fad thing to do now is go ahead and get your college, right, high school degree early so you can go to spring practice and get a leg up. And I think we had 10 guys do,
right,
that, which,
right,
is pretty amazing.
I guess we're just going to have to do a live show from Tuscaloosa sometime this next football season.
That would be nice. That would be fun. Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Get Eli Gold on, too. Get Eli, you know, a couple of coaches. That'd be fun. Absolutely.
That would be fun.
Get Coach Sewell, the golf coach, because, you know, they're not bad at golf either. And they just – and actually, National Signing Day, we just had three big commits for the golf team as well.
For golf program?
I'm pretty juiced about.
Wow.
But I won't go into detail on that since it's a golf show. But
why should we talk golf?
Why break that up?
We're the confusion.
Why would you do that? But now, how did Ole Miss do? I saw their overall rank was not as high as it has been.
No,
which is understandable with the sanctions they have coming up. But I did see a lot of 4-star recruits that Coach Freeze got.
Well, yeah, but not very good. I don't have a lot of hope for Ole Miss for the next few years. Not going to be pretty.
They did, Frank, get a kid out of the Dallas area here. I believe it was Plano, who was recruited by everybody, including Alabama and Clemson and Texas.
Yeah.
A&M, I believe, were his finalists, and he chose Ole Miss
over A&M.
So you got a good over Alabama too. I mean, you got a good player there. So there's one. I don't know if that's going to make the team,
Ole Miss, we're in trouble.
The biggest surprise that we saw with that was Herman's first class at Texas was not strong.
Ooh, yeah,
it was, and you had a lot of guys come down to the last minute. It was Texas and here and Texas and here, and I think every one of them went somewhere.
They all
else.
Chose there.
USC got one.
Yeah,
a couple others. And,
so we're gonna see what kind of coach he is without the players necessarily.
Yeah, we're gonna see what kind of coach he is. I do think that Charlie Strong left him some talent. I mean, there was some talent there. They just were not being as productive as they could. But I think it's the first time in like 10 or 12 years that Texas has been out of the top 25 in a recruiting class. And I think that's significant.
Yeah.
But especially because Texas is, you know, such a big program, such a big school, and there's so much money with the Longhorn Network and the whole thing. It's amazing that you don't have kids just dying to go there, especially with the synergy of this big, big new coach coming in that has been so successful.
Yeah, I think that, you know, new coaches, that sometimes if kids were thinking that way, maybe they wanted to go to play with Charlie Strong. When you make a coaching change late after the season, you know, and you're in November, December, you sometimes get behind the eight ball a little bit and it's hard to recover. So that might be part of it. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be he does have some talent, I think, that's already there, but we're going to see coaching wise because it wasn't like he, as you just said, he enrolled a top 10 recruiting class. So we'll have to find out what kind of team they can put together. All right, Dickie, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Have a good day practicing today.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Good talking to you again.
Good talking to you, DP. Have a good one.
All right.
See ya.
Tour veteran Dickie Pride. Yeah, we appreciate it. On his way to hit some balls.
Had a couple of hiccups.
12 hours.
The phone connection. But, he'll be out there all day knowing Dickie.
That's what happens. Yeah, it'll happen. All right, let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk with Art Selinger, long drive champ, and a guy who can relate, we think, to what Tiger's going through. We're not exactly sure, other than back spasms, what's caused it. But Art's got a theory about that, and we'll hear from him when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Welcome back to Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett. And join us now via our exclusive hotwire line to Art Selinger, somewhere in the North Texas area. Hey, Artie, how are you doing this morning?
Morning, Tim. Frank, how are you guys?
Great. Good to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Everything's good. We're going to ask you your Super Bowl pick. We were just talking with Dickie Pride a minute ago. He told us what he thought about Super Bowl. We're going to ask you because you're actually going to be heading to Vegas very shortly and got some outings
there.
And while you're there, you can legally put $5 on my team for me. So we'll talk about that.
$5. Tim Matthews.
Too much? Too much? Maybe three?
Come on, Matthews.
Matthews, you're, oh, what is,
at least do a two-team.
Oh, I'm going crazy. I'm going
crazy. Come on, Tim. $5? Please. I knew Tim was cheap, but I didn't realize he could squeeze juice out of a penny. Gee. Yeah, come on, 100.
We'll
100. Put up 100. Put up 100, Tim.
Hey. Don't. Just easy. Easy now. Let's talk about that in a second. Let's get to the big story, and that's the guy who's not playing golf. First of all, it's a big story whenever Tiger's playing, whether he's last place or first or whatever's going on. As long as he's playing, now he's not even playing, and still a big story. As we talked about earlier, he withdrew from the Dubai Desert Classic because of back spasms after his first opening round there at the tournament, shot 5 over in his first round. So not exactly the kind of golf that he was hoping to be playing. And Art, I wanted to ask you about the mental aspect of the game and how that can relate to the physical. You certainly can relate to that as well as a lot of professional golfers can, that if they get too many things going on in their head, it can literally affect your body and affect your blood flow and cause back spasms in this case. Is that what you think happened with Tiger?
Absolutely. And again, this is in all respect to a 14-time major champion and coming from a guy who never teed it up inside the ropes like he did, but I can tell you, not of opinion, but of fact, that first off, I don't agree with the way he went about this. I don't agree playing in San Diego and then flying 16 hours across, you know, the planet to go play over there. I think that was the bad move. If I was on the advice team, and this is critical, he played and looked loose in that 18-man deal that he did down in the Bahamas, and it was a good club, golf course choice. I would have settled him in at the Bob Hope, let him play some courses that are a little easier, no rough. And I would have also then waited and played another pro-am situation at AT&T and not play Torrey Pines. But after Torrey, he should have went to Phoenix. But neither here nor there. What happens and was happening with him is it's a huge fear factor of the golf swing. Everybody says go back to Butch, go to this teacher, and they dissect golf swings on TV until we can't take it anymore. It has nothing to do with his action. It's 100% mental. Let's take a look at Henrik Stenson. Rewind 6-7 years ago. He could not hit a 100-yard wide fairway. Let's take a look at Robert Carlson, top 10 in the world. He could not take the club down like Charles Barkley from the top. And call it what you want, whether it's the yips, fear. So what happens is, and it happened to me playing in a level in a situation I wasn't prepared for, on the range, I felt perfect. I hit it the best I've ever hit it in a very big tournament. As I got closer to tee time, I felt my body seizing up a little bit, getting a little more tense. I actually birdied the first hole, and my back, as I was walking down the second fairway, started really impinging and hurting me. I had zero pain that morning. Struck it like I've never struck it before. So I'll fast forward this. By the sixth hole, there was a medic there, and I was in an ambulance, and I was gone. My back seized up so bad, I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I went to Villanova Hospital. It was in Philadelphia. It took 7 hours for me to relax, calm down. The doctor looked at the MRI, looked at everything. He looked at me, and he said, let me teach you something. What happened? He says, your body seized up, no blood flow to the back. You were scared. You were in a very rough situation. You had no trust in your golf swing. And by the way, I was about 13 over when I got to the sixth hole. I couldn't hit it forward. I made triple after quadruple. I'm dead serious. It was a serious, sad story. And basically, my mind took over my body and shut my body down to where I could not take the club. I was hitting the ball at the time 350-plus yards in my prime of long drive. No problem. That was a no-effort swing. I couldn't hit a ball 50 yards on the sixth tee if somebody laid $5 million down. I couldn't move. I was absolutely frozen. So in this case, what I'm seeing with him, because there's no way he hits it 60 yards offline. I don't care. It's not his golf swing. And so he's getting right on the tee, and it happens on the first tee a lot, and then the bogeys come. Look, he's played 54 holes in tournament play, and I think he's made 2 birdies in 54 holes. This is a guy that used to shoot 68 with 6 clubs, hitting it bad if he wanted to. I mean, so it's not a technical swing fix. and it's a fierce situation that he doesn't know where the ball's going to go with the big club. He's a great scrambler, and that's it. You know, at Torrey, he would have probably, most people would have shot 5 or 6 shots higher. And so I'm telling you, it's mental. I'll get off my soapbox. I feel bad. It's hard to watch. It's sad. But there's no teacher, no swing fix, no head drop, no laid off plane that's causing any of this. It is absolutely a mental disaster.
So is there a solution for it? Is there a way to, Henrik Stenson, what did he do?
I don't know. The only one that's
how did you overcome it?
You could call it the full swing yips. I mean, I've talked to Hank about this before, Hank Haney. You know, and I have a lot of respect for what Hank says. And, you know, we look at some of the tee shots he's hit off the first holes in some tournaments. So I don't know what the nerves do to him. But I'm telling you that nerves and fear can shut the body down and blood flow down to where you, the spasms he's having, I bet he can't breathe. I bet it hurts so bad because I've been there. I know exactly. So some of the guys that have kind of lost it, you know, and it's sad. I mean, I don't know what Ian Baker Finch, you could have had an elbow situation, but you step up. I've been there. I'm telling you, we're talking about you think you can hit it 60 right or 60 left. You have no idea. And your body tenses up and you just can't let it go. And I don't know what it's going to take for him to get out of this, but I'll tell you this, going Torrey and then going across country to Dubai, I think he needs to lay low and play a lot of the smaller tournaments and get his feet wet, get some confidence. But I'm telling you, Google back Henrik Stenson. Henrik Stenson could not hit a golf ball down. If the fairways were side by side, he couldn't even hit those two. He was hitting it lateral. He was, what, ranked 500th in the world. Now he hits it straighter than you and I can point. So he overcame that yip, that fear. But why Tiger hurts, I'm telling you, is tension.
So you don't, again, we're talking with Art Selinger, long drive champion. You don't think there are some skeptics out there that just think that Tiger, and certainly in the past, has a bad round and then withdraws because he just doesn't like his score. He doesn't like where he's going.
He couldn't move. I bet you this morning, the blood flow was so bad. I bet you his leg was probably numb. Low back killing him. I've been there. I know it's true. I'm telling you, I was 100% perfect. And an hour later, I was incapacitated, all from fear. Now, they haven't had to carry him off, but we've seen him limp off. I don't think he's ever faked it at all. I know it's real, and I'm telling you, when the blood supply gets cut off like that, you cannot function. And because you are just, I mean, I know he doesn't want to go out and shoot a high number today. I don't know what, or was it last night, I guess. What was the weather doing anyway over there?
Yeah, it's brutal. Brutal weather.
Windy. It was just really, really windy.
It could have been brutal weather, and then he starts thinking about that. And listen, and I feel so bad that all eyes are on him. I honestly, I was so chapped last week, if you let me just say one more thing. For the tour and for Farmers, to put him with Day and Johnson is a travesty. It's a travesty for them all, and they got exactly what they deserve because none of them played the weekend. They deserve it for screwing those guys over. They should have put DJ early, late on the North course. They should have put Jason Day with two other players on the South early, late, and they should have sent Tiger out early on the North, away from everybody, and put a mid-range winner with him, put a Brendan Steele with him and another player. He doesn't need that pairing, and they got what they deserve. None of them played the weekend. Horrible choice. I don't know how smart they think they are to do that to these players, but they wrecked the whole deal because it's like playing in a war zone. And for Tiger to overcome this, he's got to go to some lay low tournaments. You know, you go to the Hope, you play with another touring pro and an amateur, and you got no rough, you got some golf courses, and then all of a sudden you hit some fairways like you did down there at the Bahamas. You shoot 68 or 9. You get your feet underneath you. Then you go to Phoenix. Again, you can kind of hit it a little bit out of the ordinary there. You'll do okay. He's chipping the ball fine. He's putting it fine. So whoever's making these choices, I could not disagree more with these choices, picking these hardest courses. And I don't know where he goes from here, except it's a really, really long flight coming back.
Commercial.
I'm kind of curious, too, Art. I mean, flying, he's going to get on his jet again, I'm sure, and have a masseuse with him instead of flying commercially. But
yeah,
I'm curious.
He's going to be all right. I mean, it'll simmer down and it'll calm down, and you know that basically the inflammation will kind of seize and go away. That night in Philadelphia, by the way, I went to the dinner and I sat with my pro-am partners that night. Okay, this is the old Tylenol Classic in Philadelphia, a big event that Jim Furyk was a part of, and Nicholson played, Furyk played. There were big tour players there. I had no business being on the tee, and I could shoot 72, 3, or 4. I mean, I was that kind of player. I was there because I could kill the ball. But, I mean, I wasn't an 80 shooter. I was a decent player, was not going to shoot 65. I sat with my pro-am partners that night, 7 o'clock for dinner, in zero pain and took no medicine. Zero. It was gone. I basically scared myself into pain. To where I was incapacitated.
So
I've told you this story. I haven't told many this story, but it's the truth. It can happen.
Wow. Interesting.
So,
stuff.
I'm curious. People would wonder why that would affect Tiger. I mean, you and Tiger are certainly in a different world when it comes to professional golf. Tiger and a lot of other guys on the tour are in a different world. Why doesn't it affect those guys that are trying to keep their card or pay their bills and have real pressure? Why would that affect Tiger so much when it seems like there should be very little pressure on a guy who's accomplished so much?
Because he did jack with his swing a ton, okay? So he doesn't know. He's got five. Plus, he knows more about the swing than anybody out there probably. Number two, he's played golf and won majors with 4 different golf swings. His original, his swing with Butch, his swing with Hank, and I guess he didn't win a major under Foley, but he had player of the year. He won 5 times. So he's got more swings than he knows what to do with. He has a better chance to hit it around a tree and curve it than he does dead straight. So nobody is immune to this in golf because there's so many small muscles and fibers and things that go on with the hands. And I'm telling you, golf is my brother and I were texting last night, and he just said the word cruel probably 30 times. There's no game more cruel. You know, people have been there with the shanks. They've been there with skull and chips. I've been there where with 2 hands on a short putter, I couldn't make it under pressure from 1.5 feet to 2 feet. I couldn't take the putter back. So I putted with a long putter for 15 years. I putt fine. Now I putt split-handed. The back of my putter weighs 110 grams. The head of the putter can be used as a weapon in the Army. It's so heavy. And I'm fine. But a traditional putter with 2 hands, under pressure, no chance.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't know on tour, but I'll tell you, if I was out there, there'd be a lot of vodka in my bag. I will not name this player's name on the PGA Tour. But this player played, and I will not name his name, but I will tell you a true story. This player quit the PGA Tour, and I asked him what's going on, and he quit. And this is a long time ago, and he just looked at me and he says, "I was tired of being drunk Thursday through Sunday." Couldn't calm himself down.
Wow. I was going to mention
that
players, they swing oil, right? Well, that's a product now,
but we joke about having a few
pops or whatever on the course and you start playing a little better. There's a fine line from that 7th beer to the 12th beer.
Absolutely. Whether it's that or whether it's medicine.
Yeah, true.
Whether it's a beta blocker or a Klonopin or wherever. Yep. But I'm telling you, this player looked at me and said, "You know what? I got a kid. I did not want to become a true alcoholic, but I was basically walking around semi-drunk Thursday through Sunday, and I just didn't want to do that anymore."
That sounds like us on the road, Tim.
Wow. Yeah.
It goes on. And the scrutiny of Tiger, you got to imagine. You know, I can't imagine how many eyes and people are following him 10 deep, and the cameras and the stories and the pressure. And I just signed a deal with this company and Monster and Bridgestone and TaylorMade. And, you know, I feel for him. I said it last night in a text to my brother. I said, had this guy walked away after that putt in 2008, he'd have gone down as probably the greatest athletic winner in the history of sport. If you think about those percentages at the time, he was at 39% on WGCs, 32% on the PGA Tour, and 27% in majors after that putt at the U.S. Open. So I don't know. If there's any, I'd love to see him play and come back. It's great for the game. It's great for everything. But I just don't know if he can overcome. I always thought you'd open it up, you'd find wires, but I just don't think that he's human enough, I mean, to overcome this. I don't.
Yeah, well, it's...
But I'm telling you...
It's got everybody talking, that's for sure.
The pain is real and the pain is mental.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well,
fascinating. Fascinating. Hey, Art, before we let you go, give us your Vegas pick here. What are you looking at Sunday?
B squared, Brady and Belichick. How do you bet against that? I mean, he wants this one against Goodell more than anything in the world. The only way he loses is if it's the worst officiated game in the history of any sport imaginable. But
that's been known to happen.
The Patriots, they have that easy little poster around their locker room that just says "Do your job," and I think they're all going to do their job Sunday, and they're gonna beat a really good team, but they're gonna win.
Okay,
yeah, I tend to agree. You got some golf outing something there, Art? While you're there, you're gonna be talking to people, hitting some balls. What are you going to do?
No, I don't do that anymore. I'm going with some friends, and we're getting on a plane tomorrow. Okay. And it's our normal Super Bowl deal. We get there on Saturday, we land, we play golf. And then have a great meal. Then we do our regular gambling. And then we'll go late to the Westgate over there, the old Hilton Sportsbook. And we'll bet every prop bet there is. And that coin flip better be tails. And I think the national anthem will go over a minute 56. And whoever's going to rush for more than 14 yards and the first interception is going to go to Matt Ryan. We bet every one of those, and then we go to a great Super Bowl party on Sunday.
Okay.
And then finish it off with a morning round on Monday, and then it'll be home Monday. So that's our annual Super Bowl boondoggle.
Okay, Art, here's the deal. Lady Gaga goes political during the halftime show.
Oh. Is that a prop bet?
I don't know, but it should be. It should be. Anyway, well, I won't go there. I don't know. Tim will jump on me for going political.
If she goes political... I would bet she goes political. I'd lay 3-1 she goes political.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
And Meryl Streep.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah,
she would.
And Meryl Streep. Hey, Art, Tim, go ahead and bet $1,000 for Tim, and he'll pay you back after
Tim,
he wins.
I got you for one large on the Pats.
There you go, Tim. You're
perfect. Pats are going to win by 10 or more is my pick. So, yeah, whatever you feel comfortable, Art, and me paying you back on.
All right, there's the 9 o'clock train going by me, so it's going to be loud. I don't want your listeners to hear it. Boys, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, again, Art.
All
right,
no
Art.
Disrespect. I just
we appreciate
gave you factual stuff. And
I got
nobody
you. That was great.
To see Tiger play better than this guy right here. So it's just a fact of life, unfortunately.
Perfect. All right, Art, we appreciate your opinions and everything else. Have fun in Vegas this weekend.
Thanks, boys.
Take care, buddy. Safe travels.
All right. There we go. Art Sellinger.
He's out.
And he's gone. Yeah.
He's gone.
The train beep, beep, went beep. By.
Train went by. Yeah. You're in for one large.
I don't know where he's at. He's right by his office. Yeah. Is large in Vegas terms 1,000?
I think it's 100. 10. No, it's 10.
What's large?
10.
No.
Yeah.
10 bucks?
10,000.
Oh. We'll see. Oh, 10,000 is large?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. One large.
Don't go that large.
Well, you're in. You've already told him. You committed. Your word is your bond.
Yeah, it's documented. We got recordings.
Hey,
anyway,
by the way,
Frank,
right by the studio just now, out the windows, a waste management truck just went by. There you go.
Oh,
there's a tournament this week called the Waste Management.
Headed for Phoenix.
Hey,
exactly.
Did you know?
Fascinating stuff, though, wasn't it? About art?
Yeah, it really was. That was really interesting stuff. I gotta ask.
You can really relate to that.
Do you know where White Christmas was written? Do you know?
I hope this is relating to something we were saying. It's not just a random.
Well, it has to do with this week's
Phoenix.
Tournament.
Phoenix.
Well, the Arizona Biltmore Pool. The Arizona Biltmore Pool. Irving Berlin sat by the pool at the Arizona Biltmore, which is I've stayed there. It's a fabulous place. And wrote White Christmas. And Marilyn Monroe, by the way, also said that was her favorite pool in the world. So,
really?
Yeah, okay. It's interesting stuff. Dave Logue is fabulous with giving us great tidbits of information to use on the air.
I mean, that's a Dave Logue tip?
Our executive producer, Dave Logue, yeah. He may not want us to say his name on the air and be associated with this show.
That's a fun fact. That's a fun fact. I didn't know where you're coming with that one, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. It's connected to Phoenix. But anyway, back to Art. It is truly, and he truly believes that. I'm not. He's not a doctor, but he knows he's been there, and he's obviously been around.
He plays one on television.
The fact he pretends like he's one on TV, but the fact that your mind can control your body like that is really amazing. I mean, it really is kind of crazy how it can do what it did to Tiger, if indeed that is the problem.
Well, what is the figure? What percentage of our brain do we actually utilize? It's a tiny percentage of the human brain that we utilize. So that the fear is an incredible sense. It can paralyze you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've felt it before in car accidents.
Literally, yeah.
It can paralyze you. I felt it over a putt when I didn't have a penny in my pocket. Yeah. I had to make it or lose a dollar or two, right?
And the thing about Tiger, like we were saying, is he has seemed bulletproof through most of his career. Even when he was younger, he wouldn't lose. He had leads. He never gave up leads. He was always as Art said, you'd open him up and there'd be wires inside. He was very robotic and very – so to see the true human aspect of what he's going through happened to him is probably
sad.
Almost shocking to a lot of people. Yeah. It wouldn't happen to Tiger Woods. He's too good for that.
It's sad. It's sad to see it. And we all wish the best for him. I mean, he's a good dude. We've all been around him, talked to him, spent time with him. He's a good guy. And he's probably the greatest athlete that's ever been on the golf course. The greatest athlete that's been on
Certainly.
The golf course.
Yeah.
So anyway, there you go.
But age and time, right? It always catches up to everybody. I don't care who you are. It'll finally get to you, and maybe it's gotten to Tiger. We'll see.
I can relate.
Yeah, exactly.
You know the good thing about that, though?
All right, well, we're done.
I don't have to worry I don't have to worry about golf because I have no clubs. So there. My clubs are gone.
There you go. Okay.
Had to get that in.
I was so worried you weren't going to get that in. Oh, I was so worried. Oh, okay, now that you have, let's see how that works. All right, we are out of time, definitely. But now, thanks to Art Selinger. Thanks to Dickie Pride for talking to us. Go Patriots. Put a few dollars on the Patriots if you're someplace where it's legal to gamble. And for Frank Bassett, the Atlanta Falcon fans, and everybody else, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Golf Talk America.